All right, Wilfrid Laurier, welcome. It is 7 o'clock on a Thursday, and you know what that means, or maybe you don't, and you're going to find out. Welcome to the Radio Laurier news show. For those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, my name is Aaron Hagee. I am the news director here at Radio Laurier, and I'm here with my esteemed colleague. Why don't you introduce yourself as well?
Hello, everyone. My name is Garrison Osterhoff.
We also work for The Cord. I am The Cord's news editor, and Garrison is our web director. And we are here to bring you some news. It's very exciting. It's been a long week, long first week back. Oh, it's over. Reading week is over. We're back to our studies. Was your reading week productive,
Garrison? It was not productive.
It was not productive.
I got hit in the face on Monday.
Oh.
That's what the school felt like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a midterm this week and two assignments. Next week, same thing. So I'm going to have to really buckle down this weekend, which is good, though, because weekends aren't really like reading week. Mm-hmm. I don't actually slack off on them. On a weekend, I have a rhythm already. I can get to my schoolwork. Mm-hmm. Reading weeks are just so special, you don't want to spend them on school. Mm-hmm. So that's my philosophy.
No, I definitely agree. And there's going to be a lot of catching up. Every reading week, I tell myself, man, I'm going to be so productive, get so much reading done. Then I don't know, it hits you. The weather was so nice last week. I just wanted to go out and do stuff, have some fun. That's all right. You know, we always, some of us, we get in that, and we just need
it. We deserve a vacation.
Yeah.
Because our schoolwork is like regular work. We spend a lot of hours during a regular
week. Sometimes you got
to
take
parents go on vacations. Mm-hmm. Students get to go on vacations.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that has a lot to do with reading week. It's a mental health focus.
It's gotta be. Health focus. Sometimes you just gotta take some you time. That's
mm-hmm.
all right.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. Mm-hmm. Now we gotta get caught up, put on our big boy pants, and that means it's time for some news. We've got a lot of very important stuff to cover. If this is your first time tuning in, the Radio Laurier News Show, we cover a lot of the important events, individuals, things that are happening in and around the Wilfrid Laurier campus and in the Kitchener-Waterloo region. Sometimes we get off track, sometimes we have a little discussion, sometimes we have a little fun, but that's all right. Why don't we get into the biggest, I would say most significant piece of news to happen to Canada in the past little bit, and that is cannabis legalization. 10/17, everybody, it's finally here. 420, 24/7. Oh, it's very exciting, isn't it, Garrison?
It's almost like happy hour for Canadians.
It is.
I think in the national scale or the international scale, we are kind of the ones known for our marijuana use or mm-hmm. marijuana quality, mm-hmm. all that kind of thing.
Yes, and finally, for once, now we as a country get to look upon the U.S. and say, ha-ha, we beat you.
We did it first.
We did it first. They may have some states, but we got the whole dang country, so here we go. All right, getting into cannabis legalization. Wednesday, October the 17th, marked the official legalization of cannabis across Canada. For those of you who are interested in purchasing it legally, you must be at least 19 years of age to do so, and having or using the substance can no longer incriminate someone, so cops, gotta back off. I'm sure you already know that, but now the students know that as well. Cops will back off. You don't worry. No, don't be afraid. As long as you don't use it in public, obviously, because then that's a big no-no. As well, there are penalties that are going to be significant penalties for selling to minors. It is going to be even more strict than it is with alcohol. So anyone's caught selling cannabis to minors could face up to 14 years in prison. So don't do it. Don't be a dope, all right? Similar to the LCBO, there's going to be a government agency calling itself the Ontario Cannabis Retail Corporation that's going to be in charge of purchasing cannabis sold in Ontario and operating the warehouse it's received. And at that point, it's going to ship it to stores directly to people's homes. And that will begin, the private retail of cannabis will begin sometime, hopefully, next April. For the time being, you can only order it online. And oh boy, the stores online, they're already empty.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
People have been going crazy for it. I mean, I'm not surprised, but they've been going crazy for it.
I think it was 1/6 of what they needed they had. A couple weeks before legalization, they were estimating how much people were going to buy and how much they had, and they only had 1/6 of what they needed. It's what I remember from that article. So that's not enough.
Nice and prepared. Well done, Ontario. Well, some of the other provinces have cannabis available to sell in stores immediately. Ontario, we do not have it quite yet. That's all right. You can still get it online. And this involves a two-step process. First, going on the website when you want to buy, there is the obvious age gauging mechanism. Are you 19 years of age or older? That is going to be able to put people, make sure that they're verifying their age for the first step process, make sure that they are legally able to purchase it online. The second, when the product actually gets to the customer's address, only an individual who is over the age of 19 and who has provided legal identification to the delivery person can receive the product. And if you are not 19, that product will not be left at the address and you will have to go pick it up at the Canada Post Depot. So make sure if you are receiving your online orders, someone who is 19 has got to pick it up. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, no coconuts, nothing around it, all right? Now, talking a little bit about cannabis itself and what it's going to do for the country. There's a lot of benefits, you know, to legalizing cannabis, I think we all agree. You know, not just from a financial standpoint, but there is the quote-unquote war of drugs, war on drugs that, you know,
I think a new approach with that.
Definitely. And I got to say, thank the drugs have won for the time being.
One of them has.
So I think many experts had agreed that criminalization of recreational cannabis use, it simply wasn't working in the past. And Canada has some of the highest recreational user rates in the world, especially amongst younger people. So I think it's really good that there is now a shifting change in the belief. And hopefully now legalization is going to have kind of the impact of making sure that if the product is going to be purchased anyways and consumed anyways, it might as well be privatized, it might as well be regulated and done so safely and through someone that we can trust and something that's controlled. So
I think for sure the best part is that it takes away the negatives mm-hmm. of marijuana being illegal. Mm-hmm. So the people that don't really deserve to go to prison for having a gram or 3 grams mm-hmm. or whatever the ridiculous story that we've all probably heard before.
For sure.
Those kind of negatives of it, of marijuana being illegal are now gone. So that's great.
I think it's great. It's going to be the nonviolent, sometimes first offenders for very minor charges that, you know, we won't have to worry about anymore. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, we don't have a for-profit system in our prisons like mm-hmm. the U.S. does, I know, mm-hmm. and that's why that is a significant problem down there. We do not have the same system, so hopefully, you know, this is just one more step in the proper direction to dealing with, you know.
It's more fair for the social.
It's more fair, yeah, exactly. Community. And then it changes what has been called in the past, quote-unquote, the drug problem, mm-hmm. the drug user problem, and those who utilize drugs as a sort of self-medicating means. And hopefully it starts giving the push that we need to change the conversation mm-hmm. a little bit.
Especially mm-hmm. with the whole problem with fentanyl and harder drugs, mm-hmm. I'm sure the money flowing into the provincial governments right now is going to be very beneficial for continued war on drugs, and maybe now this ideology is going to be also beneficial on having a new approach to the war on drugs.
For sure. Now, talking about how the province is going to benefit from this, why don't we get into this a little bit? There is going to be some issues with regards to local private retailers that have been outlined licensing to sell legal cannabis products as a legal recipient of an official Government of Canada product. It's going to be an annual $97,000 for the license to be able to sell it. So unfortunately, the implication of this means there's going to be a lot of businesses that are simply unable to afford it. Now, I know the whole kit and caboodle, the whole hoorah behind cannabis legalization in the first place was this grand notion that privatizing it will kind of do the same thing that it did in states like California and Colorado, where they basically made an economy. But it really brings the question, like, if these private licensing fees are so high, is it just going to lead to sort of a monopoly? I think it has a worrying implication. What do you think, Garrison?
What was the question? Sorry.
Do you think that cannabis licensing fees being so high, meaning that a lot of smaller businesses simply aren't going to be able to keep up or be able to afford it, so they won't be able to pay for it, and instead they're going to be sold by, the Ontario Cannabis Retail Corporation instead. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's going to lead to a bit of a monopoly, or maybe is that something that we want?
It does sound too high. I think with that sort of the entrance fee, so to speak, where you mm-hmm. have to pay to be able to sell weed, it's a good idea to have. That seems too high because it does seem to to knock out any of the smaller businesses. That's just what I was checking right now. I wanted to look at the rule is 4 kilometers
yes.
away from school. Yep. And so that includes the entire Uptown Waterloo area.
It is.
And there is Your Highness closer to Herb Street and there is Different Strokes, which is almost right beside a public school. So like it's kind of unfortunate for for those businesses in all of Uptown really because there's a lot of schools in the area and it kind of eliminates the main section, the main economic headquarters of Waterloo.
Yeah, especially with the shifting ideology that Uptown's becoming more of a quote-unquote nightlife space. The removal and the fact that these stores are so close to this kind of barricade radius around schools, it kind of means, like, what's going to happen to these businesses if they want to sell cannabis?
So, yeah, in addition to your point about the monopolization from the government, it is a concern. It doesn't seem to be... If there's going to be an economic benefit, the people aren't going to feel it as much as I would have hoped they would.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of setting in right now that, I mean, especially with this whole hit of the next 6 months is only through the government and private industry won't be able to participate till April. That's a huge hit as well because this is the peak moment for stocks to rise.
Yeah.
This is where the most amount of people are engaged.
You're
and
a smart businessman. You're investing in pot stocks right now.
Things are going to go back to normal by April, and so that's really going to hurt. So, yeah, that's not exactly... I don't know if that would be a good decision. I think, I mean, in other states that I've seen, there's been huge economic growth, and that...
Definitely.
That might have been sabotaged by the government a little bit here.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt in the claim that cannabis legalization is going to be extremely financially beneficial for the province because they are going to make a ton of money between now and April alone because they're the only ones who can do and take care of the online orders of cannabis. They're going to be making a killing. But yeah, it really it begs the question of what comes after that. And just so that in the interest of time, so that we mention it, the university, Laurier University, in response to legalization, has put a bit of an interim policy in place from 6 to 8 months, which is going to be working with the government, community, and other universities on the best way to approach the substance now that it is legalized and kind of give their idea of how it should be treated with regards to the campus and can you smoke it online or on campus? Can you smoke it in private residences, whatever? And they want to kind of create recommendations for a longer term policy. So to let you know, cannabis is prohibited. You cannot have it in indoor common areas like university and college residences, as well as on university property, in university facilities, and in university vehicles. So if you're anywhere on the campus, you can't use it. You got to treat it like the university is a business because it is. And as a business, they and everything that they own cannot advocate the consumption of, even if it is now a legal drug, same way they can't with alcohol.
Yeah. It's probably a good decision.
It's a good decision.
Especially with Laurier's population of...
And
somewhat party school type students.
Reputation. they kind of need all the hand holding that they can get.
The
with
stricter regulations.
Yeah, stricter.
And we do have them a little bit more strict than Queens is allowing edibles on their residences.
Good to know.
I read an article. So like there is different approaches to this, and some schools are prepared for this already.
Yeah.
It seems like Laurier needs to take more time, which is fine. But I'm glad that we have a stricter approach. Just. I feel like Ontario might have gone a little bit young with the age. I think 19, it's good, but with the whole study that your brain is not developed and that the THC is highly psychoactive,
definitely.
There's a lot of concern that way.
No, I think anyone who participates in cannabis and marijuana culture can agree that the studies that have showed that there is significant psychoactive impacts using the drug if you are under a certain age, because it does, while you are younger, your mind is still growing, literally growing and shaping itself, and the drug does have the potential to alter the chemistry of your brain as it is growing.
It's not just killing brain cells and bad for your health, like alcohol or maybe caffeine would stunt your growth and things like that. This is a chemical makeup. It's a little bit different because it's psychoactive.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think everybody can agree with the fact that once you reach a certain age, the chance of that happening, you know, decreases exponentially. And that's why I would agree 19 is probably a bit too young to have it for the legal age.
All the first years are mad at me, but It's my honest opinion.
Yeah, no, but you've got to think in the interest of what's best for them, unfortunately. It is a legal substance, but it's a controlled substance for a reason. So, I don't know, maybe 19's too young, maybe 20, 21. I mean, heck, considering alcohol is illegal in the States until you're 21, right? Mm-hmm. And that's alcohol, which is it 18 or 19 here? It's 19.
It's 19
right?
Here,
okay.
Yeah.
19, so 19. I wonder then, what is their cannabis policy like in the States? Is it 21 as well for smoking cannabis?
Well, that's a good question.
Because I know cigarettes are 18, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's the youngest.
And that's interesting. Cigarettes, which are significantly, have been shown to cause significantly more damage to the body, and that's 18. But that's besides the point. We do have to get moving on. But yeah, no. Cannabis.
It is 21.
It is 21?
It's 21 okay. In Colorado.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm guessing that would be quite the average for the States.
Yeah. So cannabis, it's a big deal for Canada. How it is going to be dealt with moving forward remains to be seen, because private retailers cannot start selling it until April, at least, unless the Ontario government makes some sort of change. So we will see how they deal with the cannabis boom, the expansion, its financial benefits and boons for the country and the province, and hopefully everything with that turns out fine. We're going to be moving on now to another very optimistic development in the Kitchener-Waterloo region.
The scooters, is that what you mean?
The scooters, the e-scooters. If you've seen them around, I don't know if they're in other provinces or cities. I
haven't heard, no.
I'm not even sure if they're in places like Toronto, and because I know that's a relatively very progressive city. I definitely know that they are in places like California, San Francisco in the U.S., and these environmentally friendly electric scooters have been making a splash there, and now they're here. So
CBC says that it's a pilot project in Waterloo, so we're okay. The first in Canada.
Yeah, we're the first ones. So October the 2nd, the City of Waterloo approved the expansion of an eco-scooter pilot project. They are designed as a means of environmentally friendly, accessible city transportation. So they are in town for the first pilot of the program, which is going to be running from the 2nd until November 30th. So if you see them around, feel free to try them out. This trial is being done by the regional council to see how it is going to fit in with the rest of Waterloo's transportation systems, because they have been making a lot of changes to transportation around the city, working on making it a lot more efficient. Now, Lime, which is the California-based company, has given the city of Waterloo the scooters, and I think there's about 100 scooters available for use. And if you want to use these scooters, they are going to be regulated under certain conditions. Obviously, as with any operating any other motorized vehicle transport, you have to have a valid driver's license. You must use a helmet. A lot of adults, you know, they don't want to ride on their scooters or the bikes without a helmet because they think they're cool or whatever, but you're going to crack your egg and it's going to be all over for you. So don't do it. Use a helmet, all right? Don't be dumb. And you also must be 18 years of age or older. Now, the current designated scooter route currently extends from the David Johnson Research and Technology Park to the Waterloo Park Promenade. We had the chance to speak to one of the senior economic development advisors for the City of Waterloo, Ryan Mouncey, and he says that they are not to be used on roads, university campuses, and sidewalks. They really ask everyone to be mindful and respectful of designated routes. So this may change moving forward, but for the time being, because it's a pilot project, they want to see the impact that it has on a very specific controlled area. So make sure that you're respectful of that. Make sure that if you use these, because they're also very cost effective, they're very easy to use, make sure that you're respectful of what they ask for. These scooters must be parked in the designated hubs along the trail, which are being made visible by blue signs. So unlike if you've been to California, I know they just kind of leave them wherever. You cannot just leave them wherever. Make sure that you are returning them, kind of like a shopping cart, all right? Be respectful, return them to where they should be. Now the cost to ride is gonna be $1.30 per minute, which is extremely, you know, it's extremely effective, cost effective. You think of like how much a bus ticket is, like $3.50. In comparison, scooters more, like you can just grab it, it's very accessible, easily accessible, and you know, you can ride it for a fair distance. So it's pretty comparable in price, very efficient. Now, what is the point of this project, you might be wondering? Waterloo is looking to create a permanent and growing presence of scooters and routes and make it more accessible to consumers. So it's kind of part of this up and coming growth that the city has been doing to the uptown area, and they're looking for ways to make transport around the city more effective and more efficient. The City of Waterloo is I want to reiterate this. They're urging riders to keep scooters off of roads, sidewalks, and LRT transit routes. So I'm very excited to use the scooters. I saw a little bit of it in California, and it seemed very exciting, and I want to try it here. So how do you feel about them, Garrison? Are you excited for the e-scooters?
No.
How do you think people are going to be with them? That's the big question.
They seem too expensive to me.
They seem too expensive. Wow, that's
interesting. $1.15 or $1.30 a minute seems like a lot.
No. It's $1 to start. Oh, wait. No. It's $1 to start.
And $1.
30 cents per minute.
I think it's $1.15.
Is it?
No. That's what I'm reading here.
Okay. Well, okay. If it's $1.50 per minute, that changes things. Then my estimations or my research might be wrong. And if that's the case, make sure that you look it up online yourself. Make sure you're getting the most correct and updated information, obviously.
They do go really fast, though.
Ooh, how fast?
So 14.8 miles per hour. Ooh. And that's a lot of kilometers. That can be up to 20 kilometers per hour.
That's pretty good.
That's full scoot, speed running. Scoot. That's like a regular pace for a bike, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty
20
good.
20 to 25 good, kilometers
per hour. Good for these little environmentally conscious scooters, because they're electrically charged, right? So I'm sure the hubs will keep them charged, and then they're pretty good investment.
And the court article does say 30 cents per minute.
Mm-hmm. They'll say 30 cents.
So in my research here, I saw a mixed number, but I think if it is 30 cents per minute, you can get quite a distance for 30 cents.
Yeah.
For $1, you can get definitely across the campus. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So let's hope it goes well. Make sure you show your support if you're interested. Show your support for the region and the city, and show them that you think it was a good idea for some environmentally conscious transportation modes that aren't just the very, very crowded and, you know, occasionally late buses, as well as the Ion LRT that's going to be coming. So yeah,
support the project and it'll grow bigger.
Yeah, exactly. If you want, you know, if you want something different, if you're tired of the same old thing, then make sure you support the different.
What's the harm in trying once?
Yeah, exactly. That's a dangerous statement. What's
we're talking about
what's
bikes.
The harm in trying?
We have not moved on from the weed conversation.
We are only advocating e-scooter usage, I swear. All right, so moving on. We have an Indigenous cultural community movement. I Am Affected, the Indigenous Communities Awareness Campaign. It is calling itself, for the first part of the campaign, is calling itself I Am Affected. It's been finding some success in the Waterloo region for about 2 weeks now. Now the campaign, which started in Hamilton and was founded by the Hamilton Community Legal Clinic, has now spread across Southern Ontario, and it arrived here around September. Now, it was brought to Kitchener-Waterloo by Luann Roberts, who is an Indigenous Justice Coordinator at the Waterloo Region Community Legal Services. Now, the campaign, the movement, this cultural awareness campaign, it wants to create a safe space for Indigenous peoples to speak their truth, share their stories, and break the silence of the trauma caused by Canadian Indian residential schools. Now, I sound optimistic when I say this. I assure you it is extremely somber and extremely serious. I think we all know a lot about the ongoing trauma that Indigenous residential schools kind of
have and will and are causing.
Yeah,
for but sure. The excitement we place is on the safe space that's been provided.
The safe space and the opportunity for communication, the opportunity for awareness, the opportunity for getting the word about this out that this campaign is causing. I think that's a really great opportunity. Roberts encourages people to log on to their website where people can post images and share their own stories. Some outside partners have also begun work with her to create services in KW and network within the area so that other Indigenous people living in the region can feel supported and helped when needed. I Am Affected is part one of a two-part poster campaign and social media campaign if you've seen them around. The second is going to be titled I Am Committed. So stay on the lookout for that. But I think that's a really good talking opportunity. I think it's really good that the Indigenous community has been making. I've seen a number of changes and a number of campaigns that they've been trying to get involved with and kind of spread their stories. And I think that's a really fantastic thing. And I think the I'm Affected campaign is really going to be a fantastic opportunity for kind of community and social bonding.
We'll talk about this more with the other stories that are coming up, but part of the student satisfaction ranking that Laurier received is based on how active the community is for Indigenous events and Indigenous issues. So Laurier is really great at that.
Yeah, and that was actually another another win for the indigenous community. That specific part of Clayton's mm-hmm. student satisfaction ranking was actually included because of advocacy on behalf of the indigenous community. So mm-hmm. obviously they're doing some really
making
hard work.
Some steps.
They're making some steps.
It's great.
They're putting in the effort to make sure their mm-hmm. word is being heard and their stories are being heard. And that's fantastic mm-hmm. because I think at one point in another, we all learned about mm-hmm. residential schools and, mm-hmm. and the,
and it's so important to hear these stories. For myself, I had a really mixed education from mm-hmm. homeschooling, public school, private education. Yeah. I've been all over the place, and I don't know exactly where this was covered. I think even in my earlier years where it probably should have been, they didn't have a curriculum prepared for to cover residential schools and to talk about that event. And I learned from a family friend, and he told me about his own experience as a child in a residential school and breaking out and the trouble that it caused with his family mm-hmm. and having to... his entire experience. And I think sharing those stories, it dramatically impacted myself and my own awareness of Indigenous issues in Canada. And so I think if that can continue to be passed on and shared, that can affect more people and not be a negative effect on one person that has that experience, but a positive effect and having more and more people, having a positive effect on it now.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
To articulate what I mean.
Yeah, no. If you've never heard of residential schools or you have a vague idea, make sure that you take the time to do some research and find out.
Listen to those personal experiences.
Listen to the personal experiences mm-hmm. because there tends to be this stereotype associated with Canada that we're kind of squeaky clean mm-hmm. And that we've never really done anything wrong. And as a student of history, it's always very interesting when I come across kind of one of our quote-unquote atrocities that mm-hmm. we've committed that we've kind of just swept under the rug. For example, another great one, well, not great, but a great example would be in World War II when there was the Japanese internment camps in BC. Everybody liked to talk about the horrors of the Holocaust, and while those were true and did exist, people also don't think about the significant racial discrimination that was happening in our own backyard. That goes along with residential schools because it's something that while it no longer exists and the Canadian government has officially apologized to the community for it, it's still something that we like to kind of sweep under the rug mm-hmm. and want to pretend doesn't exist. And we mm-hmm. really can't do that.
It does exist.
It does exist.
This event's proving,
we have to acknowledge it because all that ignorance does is encourage apathy. It encourages people to be ignorant, and we can't have ignorance in an age of information. When we have the ability with social media and stuff like this to connect to all these different stories, it's really, I wouldn't say it's so much as it's an opportunity as it's more of a responsibility to make sure that we are hearing the stories of other people from our country, our cultural brothers and sisters and whatnot,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and make
mm-hmm.
sure that, you know, their stories have the chance to be heard.
We're sharing a space, so mm-hmm. to speak. We're sharing a boundary that is called Canada,
yeah.
and everybody's voice should be heard.
Yeah, and considering we are on the cultural space of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee
mm-hmm.
peoples,
mm-hmm.
As well as the Neutral,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if I bludgeon that a little bit.
That
I don't have the best knowledge of it. We really do owe them a debt to make sure that we are, at the very least, making sure that their stories are being heard.
Mm-hmm.
For
the
sure.
dialogue stays open.
Yeah.
Yep.
The dialogue, keep the conversation open. I am affected is a great way,
mm-hmm.
a great first step in keeping this open. So we're going to take a little bit of a short break, but we're going to be back with some more news. So stay tuned. All right. So sorry for that. I think we had a little bit of an issue with our iTunes, but we are back. We wanted to keep the break relatively brief, just so it didn't interrupt too much with the broadcast. So we're going to be moving on to some more news now. Laurier, congratulations. Some more good news for you. Laurier ranks number one in student satisfaction 3 years in a row. Congratulations. We three-peated it. How do you feel about that, Garrison? Do you feel satisfied?
I feel pretty satisfied.
Yeah.
I'm satisfied in my decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's something about Laurier. It lives up to what you expect.
It does.
So I'm satisfied.
For sure. And I must agree. For the third consecutive year, Wilfrid Laurier University has ranked number one in the student satisfaction section of Maclean's annual rankings of Canadian universities survey.
And this year being bigger than other years with the more controversial past.
For sure. Especially with what Laurier is some of the unsavory things that they've had to deal with in the past year.
On a national level.
On a national mm-hmm. level. Yeah. Crazy. This is the kind of national attention that we are very proud to get. Mm-hmm. So if you've never heard of the McLean's annual ranking of Canadian University Series, that's okay. I'm sure you know McLean's is a very prestigious magazine. And across 15 universities, more than 23 students annually are surveyed to get their insight on a number
23,000.
23,000, sorry. They are surveyed to get their insight on a number of topics to find out which schools have been the most successful at creating what is called the ideal student experience. And it's a little bit vague, but they break it down into some categories. So the survey ranked Laurier according to how students found the quality of a number of essential campus and administrative services, such as student life, administrative, academic, advising staff, extracurricular activities, as well as residence living. So these are all categories where students said, hey, I wasn't super happy with it, or hey, they did a great job. They kept up communication. They made sure that I felt important. Now in these categories, Laurier ranked number one, as well as number two in course instructors, number three in promoting Indigenous visibility, and number four in steps to prevent sexual assault. So I mean, some of them, they're not perfect, but it definitely demonstrates that Laurier is taking it extremely seriously. But what does a high ranking in student satisfaction mean for a Canadian university? What are the implications? For some, it means reputation. It means the opportunity to quantify the quality of the university staff's work. I got the chance to speak to Leanne Holland-Brown, who's the Dean of Students for the Waterloo campus. She's a lovely woman. She was fantastic to talk to, and she had a lot of really great insight as to how it made her feel. But she specifically said that, and I wanted to include this, she said, when we think about the goal of having students feel pleased and feel proud to have chosen Laurier, and indicating that if they had to make the same choice again, they would again choose Laurier, that's a huge compliment. Part of my job as Dean of Students is to deliver on a promise that we make to students when they pick Laurier, that we will do what we can to ensure that they have a positive difference-making experience at Laurier. And I think that's a really good thing to think about. It's kind of hard to quantify exactly what student satisfaction is, but I think that quote summarizes it quite nicely. It's about making us feel like at the end of the day, we're pretty happy with what we chose. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I gotta say, 4 years now, I feel pretty happy in what I've chosen. I agreed when I was talking to her because she's had the chance to speak with a number of people about this and how they feel with regards to being at Laurier. I know she talked to someone from another major university, and he said with that, he very much felt like he was just a number, just a faceless individual. He didn't really feel like he mattered or he belonged. And then coming to Laurier, he felt like it was a complete 180, right? Mm-hmm.
I think each faculty has a vibrancy that is great. A lot of schools are dominated in one, like in a science and arts and business, but we have strong business. I think we have some courses that we're well known for sciences and some courses that we're well known for in the arts. Mm-hmm. And
kind of a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
We're well balanced.
Well balanced, right?
Across a number of different categories. And I think that's really great.
Mm-hmm.
We don't put too many of our eggs in one basket. And I think that's very good to remember as well. Laurier, number one in satisfaction. Gotta say, I agree. Moving on, of course, with all the good news in the world, you always gotta temper it. There's for every light, there's some dark. For every good, there's some bad. And unfortunately, we got a little bit of bad news to bring you to tamper down some of the fantastic news that has been coming to us. Meow Boutique in Uptown Waterloo is officially closing down October 30th. The once beloved Uptown Waterloo vintage fashion retailer located at the corner of King and Bridgeport recently announced through their Instagram page that they are going to be closing at the end of October. Through their Instagram page, they address their customer base, who they refer to as their cat club. I think that's very adorable, referring to your customer base that way. It's very clever and elegant. And they wanted to express their disappointment, both with the city of Waterloo and the toll that the construction has had on their small business. Now, I don't think it's any shock or surprise to any of you if you have visited Uptown Waterloo in the past, 4 years, that there has been pretty significant construction. And unfortunately, it has impacted a number of businesses. There's a list of them that unfortunately have had to close down because the construction cut off all accessibility to a lot of business fronts and storefronts, and a lot of people just either couldn't be bothered or they weren't able to get to them. And unfortunately for a lot of them, this means that they had to close down, which is very unfortunate. And unfortunately, Meow Boutique is another one of them.
I don't want to be a downer on already a down situation. Mm-hmm. And you feel free to disagree with me, but I have gone into Meowbo Boutique before, and I think it might have been beneficial if they diversified their product a little bit more. There was never anything that I wanted to purchase when I went in there, and that doesn't have to be something. It doesn't have to be a store that caters to my shopping needs. But
I think that's an interesting perspective to take. And
there could be
something.
I'm
sure a lot of people would agree. I've walked into the store as well myself, and I personally have not found a whole number of products that I would be interested in.
And with the variety of people that I've been in on more than one occasion and with more than one person, and I think like it is just like a different type of shopping experience, which is just great, and they have their own experience and their own niche, but it might also appeal to a smaller audience. Yes, probably.
No, with any store, obviously there is a targeted demographic, and they definitely had a targeted demographic. Mm-hmm. And it was a fan base who loved them and supported them, but unfortunately I don't feel that demographic was large enough.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately they have become another statistic in the business.
Cat Club wasn't big enough.
Cat Club wasn't big enough, unfortunately. So the focus that the region has been shifting in their construction towards creating more of a nightlife space means that retail, unfortunately, at least from their perspective, is something that's been getting left out a little. And I think I'm going to have to agree, because in Uptown, I don't think there are a whole lot of retail stores.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly stuff that's nightlife related, like Ace Ping Pong.
Well, especially where Meow Boutique is, there is more retail closer to the Market Square area. And so they all thrive together because people can walk from store to store. They're a lot closer.
Mm-hmm.
Being up almost a kilometer, half a kilometer up the road.
The location is very unfortunate.
It's tricky, yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe be a new type of cat club where it's a cat-themed nightclub.
The new cat club. That's kind of interesting, actually.
Maybe
I don't think the space is big enough for a nightclub.
No.
But I think that's kind of cute. That would be a good opportunity. So they are going to be officially closing their doors October 31st on Halloween. And their stock is already very quickly clearing out. So they encourage you, because they feel the biggest thing they're going to miss is their customer base and the people that loved and supported them for so many years. They encourage people to come by, pick out something that they love, stop by once more and share some love, share some stories with them, and show their somber mood for this passing, unfortunately, like a number of other businesses, unfortunately. And the factors that have influenced that, I don't feel I can speak to them appropriately.
Just
without it being speculation and estimation. So I'm going to, out of respect for those businesses, not do that. And we are going to be moving on to something that is a little bit more bright, a little bit more colorful. Rainbow Reels. What is it? Might be your first time hearing about it. Rainbow Reels Queer and Trans Film Festival is well underway for its 18th season in the Kitchener-Waterloo region. It is Southwestern Ontario's largest queer and trans film festival and has been running for 17 years now. It is also the oldest of its kind, and it says its goal is to bring light to diverse issues in the LGBTQ plus community. Now, I think that's pretty exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly when you hear anything regarding the LGBTQ plus community, it's always Toronto.
It's controversial.
Yes, Toronto Pride is controversial. It's, I think, the past couple weeks, it's been the presence of Toronto police officers at Pride, which I know has caused a lot of division in the community. And thankfully, this tempers it out. This is all good stuff. So that's good for them. So Hannah Enns, who is the operations and festival coordinator for 2018, says that the films are, quote, works of art. They're pieces that are well put together. There's good funding behind them, and they're beautiful, impactful stories. It's amazing to see a good film that also happens to have queer content. Because I know for everybody, you internet warriors, whenever there comes a film out that happens to be LGBTQ or anything that is of any sort of minority, they scream, why does it have to be XYZ? Obviously, we don't have the time to speak to that, but it's nice that she spoke to that and said that they're good films of their own merit. They just happen to have queer content.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Mm-hmm. They show some representation without it feeling forced or feeling like that has to be the focus of the piece, which is great.
I can't get a date for the Grand River Film Festival, but that's another local film festival. And I had a course with a professor who is a part of that festival. And I remember, I don't know clearly, so you can't quote me here, but it is not as old as this film festival, as the Rainbow Reels is. Yeah, so I think that's something, an accomplishment in itself. 18 years is a long time.
That's good. Yeah, that's really terrific. Good. They've really established themselves.
That means they're really appealing to the community.
For
I
sure.
Mean, it's something
they've showed their support, which is great. Mm-hmm. I love when things that have hard work and dedication put into them are people are rewarded for their efforts. Now, with regards to the LGBTQ plus community, oftentimes their community is represented in the media in very traumatic events, such as the gathering together of vigils, mourning, remembering homophobia, transphobia in the world. So basically the goal behind Rainbow Reels is to celebrate these identities in more of a positive environment. The festival itself began on the 12th, and it's going to be running until the 21st, which is this Sunday. So if you have not gotten a chance to check it out, I encourage you to check it out. They're playing a lot of good movies. And it's the first year that they've been split up over two weekends. So it really goes to show how much support they're gaining, in fact. They are also concerned with the representation of real people on screen. So trans characters are played by trans actors, lesbians by lesbian actors. I think that is in and of itself a bit of a controversial topic, and obviously we don't have the time to discuss it, but it would be great to get into it.
Well, I would also like to say it is exceptional.
It's exceptional, for
the,
sure.
The TIFF festival this year tried to be 50%, how would you phrase it, female...
friendly?
Well, female directors or female lead actors.
Female talent.
Yes. Yeah. So 50% of the creative was headed by or
and,
led.
Yeah.
And they didn't quite reach it.
Its own controversy.
Well, I don't think that should be controversial, but no, I think it's a good goal to have, and they couldn't even reach it. I don't remember them reaching it. So it's great that this festival is continually successful.
Definitely.
And it's, again, how do you phrase it? It's created by people in the LGBTQ plus
community. Yeah, no, it's run, created by, I don't know if the films themselves are created
or
by
just,
members of the community,
right,
or it just has to do with content.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're interested in checking it out, they are going to be playing films at Princess Cinemas in Uptown Waterloo and the Apollo Cinema in downtown Kitchener. Fresh Ground and the Walper are also going to be participating, but they are going to be hosting a comedy and queer show. And the Diversity and Equity Office at Laurier is also going to be sponsoring a film, Behind the Curtain, Todrick Hall. So if you're a Laurier student, you're going to be able to get into the film for free when you show your one card, and it's going to be screened at 4 p.m. on Saturday, the 20th, at the Apollo Cinema. So if you care about our school, if you care about LGBTQ community and you want to support it, that's fantastic. As well as upcoming events, they have a short film competition with filmmakers in the KW community, and it's going to take place at the Apollo. I'm not quite sure when that is, but another LGBTQ-friendly movie, surprisingly enough, if you've seen the horror movie The Babadook, I'm not really sure why The Babadook became like an icon for the LGBTQ movement. I know it happened because there was a mishap in Netflix's queer like section
genre
and it got put there, and then people on the internet picked it up. But it's going to be playing at the Apollo on October 20th at 9 p.m. So I mean, if you like horror movies and this one has nothing to do with LGBTQ, then go and see it.
Except that it's been taken up by the community as
like
I think
flag,
that's
right?
Cool.
I think that's cool.
It's a happy
I love seeing stuff like that being taken by the community and taken back and made their own. Festival is going to be running up through to Sunday, so there is still plenty of time to catch up on some of the films and events that are coming up and show your support for the LGBTQ community. So that's fantastic. We're going to be moving on because we've got 9 minutes left, got a little bit sports to cover, so that's good. We're going to be moving into sports. Man, whew, Laurier, congratulations. You're doing good.
Some happy notes now.
Yeah, we broke our streak over the reading week, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're continuing it. We're starting a new
Broke the slump,
streak.
Starting a new streak.
Broke the slump.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Started from the bottom. Now we're here. So Laurier just bagged a much-needed win against Carleton in what can be called the biggest game of the season for the Golden Hawks. The game against Western. Ooh, for the season finale is coming up. So the 39-24 win against the Windsor Lancers was exactly what Laurier needed to help kind of get them out of their slump. It has moved them up to 4-3 in the totals. I guess I don't know sports. I apologize. And it has given them a fifth spot in the OUA. So congratulations. You guys have done it. We knew you could. I mean, I knew all along. All right. talking about the game itself, as is to be expected of Laurier at this point, they took an early lead, so good for them. They were up 13 points by the early portion of the second quarter. Windsor took a bit of a shocking lead as they scored 19 points after, and it ended up a little bit of a back and forth. 16 points in the third quarter for Laurier meant that by the end of the fourth quarter, it was pretty much handed to them through a series of, you know, impressive and decisive plays. But talking about what's changed, in the team? What are they doing differently? Why are they out of this slump? They have a new quarterback, Connor Caruso. He is now the starter for the Laurier Golden Hawks. So good for him. You know, they made a change. It worked out well. Apparently he's a bright young man. He's got a good future on the team, and hopefully he propels us to the playoffs. So sitting at 4-3, the biggest game of the year now awaits the Golden Hawks as they travel to London to play Western on October 20th. Good luck, Golden Hawks. We wish you the best. We know you'll do great. They got the odds stacked against them, obviously. They have a bit of a shaky year, but they will be now looking for a complete team effort led by their new young quarterback to avenge their Yates Cup loss to Western a year ago. So hopefully we can beat Western. What do we say? Walk faster? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to do good, guys. I believe in you. And now we are going to move into our final story of the hour. We're going to be talking about a very impressive young woman, Rose Williams, women's lacrosse. If you've been paying attention to women's lacrosse at all, man, they've been doing so good.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
I've never been interested in lacrosse before, but I might have to now.
Yeah.
Because they've been doing so good. If you're not a sports person like me, the women's lacrosse team has been one of the most successful varsity teams at Laurier this year. Their overall record they now boast is 11-2. They seized the number 2 seed in the OUA standings this past weekend as they are now getting ready for playoffs. And one of the key cogs behind this outstanding performance, they say, has been the inclusion of one Rose Williams. She is the third year attacker on the team, and she has been on fire for the Hawks, just scoring goals game after game, just pounding it in. So good for her. But apparently she's also a very humble person, which I can respect. In athletics, tend to get some big heads because people get a little too confident in their abilities. But she's a very humble person, apparently.
The humility might be part of their success, really.
Might just be. They're a very humble bunch. Mm-hmm. They give credits to the hard work of their teammates, and that's fantastic.
In particular, encouraging the younger crew, which is always a good idea. I mean, if you want to have a successful team year after year, you need to have good turnover and use all of your talent and have everybody operating on all cylinders.
For sure. Yeah, no. Now, talking a little bit about Miss Williams, this Allura, Ontario native started her Laurier career on a very good foot 2 years ago, and she won Team Rookie of the Year honors. So, obviously, started out like Golden Goose. She's just been going strong. She's now in her third season with the team, and she's become a bit of a leader for a very talented squad. Their regular season is now over, which means that the games are only going to get tougher for women's lacrosse. They ended the regular season with a loss against the undefeated Queens Gales, who was the same team that knocked them out of the playoffs the last year, so that they now know that the road to the OUA championship is very likely going to lead through Queens again. So go get them. Because the last OUA championship for the women's lacrosse team came all the way back in 2010. So hopefully with all the talent on the team this year, the 2018 Hawks can finally end that drought, bring home a championship, beat Queens, make us all proud. So, you know, congratulations. Our sports teams, you've sported so well. I'm very proud of you all. And unfortunately, we're almost at the top of the hour, so we're going to have to be saying goodbye to you soon. A couple quick updates before we go. Radio Laurier is going to be hosting their famous Dirty Bingo at Chainsaw November the 8th. I believe it's between 6:30 and 9:30, so I'm going to be there. Make sure you check it out. Come support us and do it for a good cause, a bit of a fun cause. We'll have a little bit of naughty fun, and that's all good. Make sure you're obviously 19 plus to attend the event because it's at Chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. That's all we have for today. That's all we have for this week. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you want to get involved with the news team, or if you want to let us know how much you like us, hate us, or anything in between, make sure you drop us a line on Facebook, add us on Twitter. Let us know how we're doing. If you like what we're doing, if you want us to change something up, if you want us to do something a little bit different, I'd like to believe we can adapt to some change.
Mm-hmm.
Starting next week, we are also going to be officially beginning the integrated Radio Laurier cord We're not sure quite what we're going to call it. Maybe it's going to be the Radio Laureate Cordcast, but we are going to be integrating with our sister publication. We're going to be integrating what was formerly their Cordcast with our news show. We're going to be bringing on a new host. So I hope you get ready, and I hope you're excited for next week, because we are as well. But until then, what do we say each week, Garrison?
Good luck with the grind, Laureate.
Good luck with the grind, Laureate. We'll see you next week, but until then, take care.
Host Jasmine, and you're tuning into the wrap up. So keep listening, because these brand new songs are guaranteed to get you excited. Up next, we have Tyga featuring Offset, Taste.
Slide on the pimp game with my pinky ring. Lot of game, lot of in the icy chain.